This weekend has really been one of rest and refreshing for me, which I gotta say has been lovely. I decided earlier on in the week that I wanted to spend more time outside, and that's a big deal for me because I really like my couch. I really like just being indoors. I like sitting on my chair, drinking my coffee. I'm not a huge outdoorsy person, but I aspire to be one, right? Like I have that goal of be outside more. I see people posting pictures of these glorious hikes. I saw Angela hiking like every day this week. I don't know if she does that every day, but okay, so her mom's saying yes. But like these beautiful hikes, and I look at that and I'm like, man, I should do that. Tomorrow I'm going to do it. Then you know what I do tomorrow? I sit on my couch drinking coffee. But this week I said, I'm going to get outside more, just in nature, enjoying God's beautiful creation. And it really was delightful. I did it. I spent some time outside. And there is just something so peaceful about being outdoors, just being. You don't even necessarily have to do anything. You literally can just sit and be in God's creation and allow him to refresh you, just God's peace to wash over you. And today's message is on Psalm 23. Now, Psalm 23 is probably one of the most well-known passages of Scripture. And it was actually through meditating on this passage of Scripture this week that I felt God nudging me to be outside, to just spend time with him in creation, to be refreshed by him. And I'm so glad that I listened to his voice. Over the past few months, we've been going systematically through the Bible, and we last left off with David defeating the giant Goliath. Now, after David's victory over Goliath, things continued to go well for him at first. But David also had a lot of struggles. It was funny that we sang that song this morning that talked about the good moments, the high moments, but also on the mountaintops, but also in the valleys. David had a lot of mountaintops, and man, he had some really deep valleys. He made some big mistakes. But through it all, he learned to praise God. He cried out to God at times in anguish and despair. He cried out to God in victory. He also cried out to God in repentance. And it was through his life of experiencing both the good times and the hard times that David learned to trust God. I would love a glass of water. Thank you. David learned to listen to God's voice, and David learned to follow him. And it was from that listening and from that experience that David wrote Psalm 23. So as I said, it's one of the best known passages of Scripture. I believe it's one of the most loved psalms in all of the psalms. And I'm going to read it to you this morning. And I just want you, the words will be up on the screen, but I want you at this time to just listen to the words. Allow the peace-filled words of Psalm 23 to just wash over you. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you. Now, right off the bat, I want to tell you that the central theme that David is trying to explain in this psalm is this. You, God, are with me. God is with me. It's the clause that actually comes right in the middle of the psalm. In fact, if you were to count the lines in total and then go right to the middle, that clause that sits in the middle, that's what it is. It says, you are with me. And this is a method that's used in Hebrew poetry, basically to put the most important thing right smack dab in the middle. It's what we're supposed to be drawn to. And so Psalm 23 is about the very presence of God. And for David, who is this man of faith, a man who is after God's own heart, who in the midst of uncertainties of life, in the midst of struggle, David knows above everything else that his God is with him, that God is present with him in a personal way. So this morning, we're going to take some time to break down this psalm. We're going to go section by section to understand, how is this possible? How is it that David can so confidently say, God is with me? The God of the universe is with me. The first two images that David uses to make this point is the image of God as our shepherd. That's where he starts. God is my shepherd. David begins in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I want you to notice that all of Psalm 23, it's very personal. It's written in the first person. It's not just a general statement that the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is even the shepherd. No, David takes this truth of God as shepherd, and this was a truth that was understood by the people of Israel. But David now makes it personal. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. What's striking about Psalm 23 is how intensely personal it is. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores me. He again leads me in paths of righteousness. Then when he gets to the middle part of the psalm, which talks about the difficult things of life, David gets even more personal, and he now says, instead of he or God, he now says, you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. It's like he's having this conversation with his personal God. And it's out of this intensely personal belief of God is my shepherd that then David is able to respond with, therefore, I shall not want. I shall not lack. See, this is the cry of faith that David believes that the good shepherd will do a good job of providing for him. And we actually see this all through David's life. We see this even in the story of David versus Goliath. David didn't need the things that the world had. David used what God had provided him. He used the tools and the strength and the giftings that God had bestowed upon him. He knows that the good shepherd will provide. In fact, Psalm 23 all the way through is a declaration of faith upon faith upon faith, and it's personal faith in his personal God. The Lord is my shepherd, and because he is my shepherd, I shall not want. David understands that God determines what we need. God determines what is good for us, and God has committed himself to provide every good thing that you and I need. And then David starts to speak of the way in which our good shepherd provides for his sheep. He says, you make me lie down in green pastures. Now for shepherds, back in the Bible times, during the winter months, during even the spring, it wasn't actually that hard for shepherds to find pasture for their sheep. But as it warmed up, as it got into summer and even into fall, it became more difficult. The pasture was just gone. It was decimated. It was too used. And so the shepherds would have to take the sheep out further. They would have to go beyond their kind of normal boundaries to find good pasture, to find the thing that the sheep needed. And I believe this is the image that's in David's mind of God, his shepherd, going out and looking for what he needs, to looking for that sustenance, that nourishment, not only for food, but for green pastures, for lush pastures. See, our good shepherd knows what we need. He knows what I need. And so he leads me where I need to be in order to receive from him the goodness that he has for me, the sustenance that he has for me in that season. Next, the good shepherd leads me beside still waters, and therefore, again, I shall not want. It's a picture of the shepherd not going behind the sheep and beating them, right, to get them to go where he wants. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that the good shepherd leads me. When you lead someone, it means you're in front. You're going first. And the good shepherd is leading the sheep to where they need to be. This is a picture of the shepherd going before his sheep. His sheep hear his voice. The sheep know his voice. And therefore, the sheep follow the shepherd. So just in these first few statements, it portrays this beautiful picture of God leading us, of him providing for us. Would you rather be led into the green pastures than have someone behind you beating you over the head with a stick, saying, go this way? God's like, I've got you. Listen to my voice and follow me. I have goodness for you. Next, David says, he restores my soul. What David is saying here is that because the Lord is my shepherd, he restores me. He revitalizes me. He strengthens me. And as David's going to say in verse 4, he brings me comfort. And it's not only to the spiritual part of my being, but to the physical part of my being, to all that I am. God restores me. God cares about your whole person, every part of you. He cares for you. And this leading that God does for his sheep is to bring restoration to our souls, to our very being. When I read this, I get a sense that God is saying, Lizzie, slow down. Go outside. Take a breath. I am going to provide you with green pasture. I am going to lead you to still water. I am going to restore you. I'm going to restore your soul. I'm going to restore your body. I'm going to restore you to wholeness because I am good. Listen to my voice and follow me. We see this same pattern in Jesus. In the New Testament, during Jesus' ministry, Jesus would obviously do a lot of ministry. He would heal the sick. He would cast out demons. He would pray. He would be constantly surrounded by people in these moments of ministry. And Jesus, when he wanted to rest, he didn't like go home and sit on his couch and drink his tea. What did he do? He went off to a quiet place to be with his Father, to pray, to be restored by God. He sought that time with his shepherd to get away from the busyness, get away from the crowds. See, Jesus lived out what David understood and wrote about here. God restores my soul. And this is why we need rest. This is why God designed rest in creation. We are meant to spend time with the Creator, being refreshed, being replenished, being restored, being rejuvenated. And here's the thing, and I think we need to remember this, is you are not weak if you need rest. You are actually wise to rest. You are doing what God created you to do when you take time to be restored and replenished by him. You are being obedient to God's design and his purpose for you from the moment of creation. Be restored. Take time to rest. David continues with the fourth way in which God provides. And he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. So just as the shepherd takes the sheep on the right path toward the right destination, so also God leads us along the right path toward the right destination. toward a destination that is truly good. He leads me in right paths. But why? Why does God lead us? Why does God do this for David? Remember, David's the one who wrote this. Is it because David was a great person? No. And we're going to learn next week that David failed miserably. God didn't lead him because of his goodness. God led him because of God's goodness. God led David to show David who he is. David made catastrophic mistakes, but God continues to lead David. He continues to lead us on right paths, ultimately for one reason and one reason only. And it tells us here in the scripture, it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, the reason God leads David and us in paths of righteousness is not just to help us, not just to help David, but ultimately, and I believe at the deepest level, God does what he does for his own sake, for his name's sake. God does what he does so that he gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. Yeah, I think it is our human tendency to go through life thinking, I am the center of the universe. It is all about me. It wasn't about me. It isn't about me. It wasn't about David. It's not about you. At the deepest level, it is about God. It is about his name, his reputation, his glory, his honor, and his praise. And David understands this. He understands that all things are to be done for the glory of God. And honestly, doesn't that just take a lot of weight off of us? That God leads us, and it's for his name's sake. We just have to follow and stay on the path that he directs us to. In verse 4, David moves on to a slightly different topic. He moves from faith in God's provision to now faith in God's protection. And he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let that sink in for a moment. Here's the progression so far. The Lord is my shepherd. He's doing all these things. He's leading me in paths of righteousness. And now the shepherd, the good shepherd, is going to continue leading his sheep. And even if he leads his sheep through an extremely dark place where predators live, where there's a possibility of the sheep even being attacked, even if the shepherd is leading them through this dark, dangerous place, David says, I will fear no evil. Now we need to understand this, and honestly, I think it's a bit of a challenging truth. But the presence of danger, the presence of a dark valley, does not mean that you are on the wrong path. Sometimes God will lead you into a situation, into a valley where there is the potential of attack or danger, but it is so that you can continue to keep your eyes on him and trust him that he will not just lead you in, but he will lead you through. And that what is on the other side of that valley is better for you. And going through that will strengthen you. It will give you deeper faith. It will give you greater trust. We need to know that sometimes when life gets hard, it's not that we have suddenly messed up and we've like fallen. Sometimes we have, and we'll get to that in a moment. But sometimes it's just that God is trying to teach us something. And sometimes his teaching us is taking us through a difficult situation so we can learn to rely more fully upon him. To trust that our shepherd is indeed good through the good times, through the mountaintops, and through the valleys. See, we can sing it in a song, but can we live it out in real life? God is good. It's easy for us to slip into that thinking that says in these kinds of situations, my God doesn't care anymore. It's easy to think that somehow God has lost control. It's easy to think in these difficult situations, okay, well, God's out of the picture, obviously, because look at my mess, so I got to clean all this up. And somehow we dethrone God and we put ourselves in that place we're like, I got to get myself out of this mess. When God is saying, I'm leading you, I'm still here. Call out to me. Listen to me. Keep following me. A voice that is lacking in faith looks into the valley of the shadow of death and responds in fear, especially in the midst of pain, especially in the midst of the struggles of life. But faith says, God is still my shepherd, and he is still taking me through the valley to a better place. He is leading me in paths of righteousness, and if that means that he takes me into the valley of the shadow of death for a time, I am not going to throw my faith out the window and somehow say, well, now God doesn't care. One Bible commentator that I read this week explains this by asking this question. He says, why does God sometimes lead us through the valley of the shadow of death? And this is the answer: to take us to a better place. Our response of faith must be to still believe that God is God and that he knows what he is doing on the journey. The good shepherd leads us in and he leads us through. And then comes the main point in the psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. This is what it's all about, that you, God, you are with me. This comes out of David's faithful conviction that God is always with him, even in the valleys. This is why David is able to respond in faith that God will also provide, that God will also protect, because God will not leave him. He will just keep leading him. David goes on and he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, this is an interesting one because the rod and the staff, the rod was actually a tool that is used for fighting animals off, like the predators. It was essentially like a club. The staff is a longer, like your traditional shepherd's staff that would be used for guidance or just maybe for prodding a little bit. Hey, sheep, you're going the wrong way. Right? Get your back on the right path. Maybe it's that shepherd's hook that just grabs you around the neck occasionally. This way, please. David says he's thankful for those. He says that they are comforting to him. David is thankful that God has a club to beat his enemies over the head with. Aren't you? David is thankful that God has a staff to give direction and guidance to him. I was watching a little clip this week that showed a sheep, and the sheep, I don't know if you've seen it, it's on social media, but the sheep's like jumping. I love how sheep jump. Who knew that sheep jump? Like you think they just walk. They jump, and he was bounding, and it looked all happy and glorious, and then all of a sudden, plop, right into this like crack in the ground, like a crevice, and the sheep goes upside down, and so all you see are his feet like kicking up in the air. And then you see this faithful shepherd walk over, grab the sheep by the feet, pull him up. The sheep like kind of shakes himself off. What does he do? Bounding, 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 plop, right back into the same crack. I love it. Because sometimes we are like those sheep, right? God's like, hey, come this way. We're like, awesome, let's go. And then plop, we end up in some crack somewhere, feet up, you know, kicking. And the shepherd, our good shepherd, comes and he pulls us out. And we are bound to, at some point, end up in that same crack again. The good shepherd continues to pull us out, set us on the right path, and continue leading us. David continues in verse 5 and he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, as we look at these final three provisions of God, they are all saying essentially that God is abundant, that he is lavish in his provision for us. He prepares a feast for us in the presence of our enemies. This is like God showing the sheep that the valley isn't the end, that what you see, this thing that you're surrounded by, man, it's not the end. And even if the enemies are watching, let them watch as the good shepherd cares for his sheep, as he prepares the feast, as he anoints them with oil, which is a sign of blessing. It's a picture of rejoicing. And David says, my cup overflows. God is filling up his cup and it is pouring over the edge. It is a picture of excess and abundance of love and care that the shepherd has for his sheep. And then in verse 6, we have the final affirmation of faith. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, David knows that instead of being pursued in the darkness by predators, that he will be led through and pursued all around in all situations by God's goodness. I love that we sang that song this morning, Brad, that your goodness is running after, it's running after me. God's goodness surrounds us. We are surrounded by his loving kindness. When David says that he will be pursued by God's goodness and by his loving kindness, that will follow him all the days of his life, that is the hesed that Pastor Tyler spoke to us about, that Hebrew word for mercy, for loving kindness. When David says goodness and mercy, it is God's goodness and God's mercy. It is his covenantal love for his people. And it is within the context of that covenantal relationship that David knows that God's goodness, that his faithfulness, that his mercy and his love will follow him all the days of his life. The love is freely offered by the Good Shepherd. The love is freely offered by the Good Shepherd to all. We just have to receive it. You have to know the shepherd's voice and follow him. Now, 1,000 years after King David lived, the good shepherd was born, and his name was Jesus. And when Jesus grew older and started his ministry, he actually used the same imagery of shepherd and sheep as he was trying to help the people understand just who he was. It's in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, that Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. Listen to what he says. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. That would be the shepherd. And the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice. Now, sheep often get a bad rap. I have said it many, many times that sheep are stupid, because I find comfort in that, because I sometimes can be pretty stupid, and I know that I am one of God's sheep, right? We make mistakes. We do things that we shouldn't do. The sheep get freed, and then they jump right back into the pit, right? Sheep don't always have it all together, and that should be comforting to us. But one thing that sheep do that is absolutely a mark of brilliance is they know the voice of their shepherd and they listen to him. In fact, sheep will not go to a call of a shepherd that is not their shepherd. They can try to mimic the voice of their shepherd, but if it's not the true shepherd, the sheep won't budge. They just won't. They are waiting to hear the voice of their shepherd before they ever even turn their heads to look. To illustrate this, I have a video that I want to show you. Let's get that going. It does have sound, so I don't know if we've got sound.
One more time.
Thank you.
one. You will never have the same again.
I love it. Sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they follow him. Do you know the voice of your shepherd today? Later on in verse 10 and 11, Jesus, the good shepherd, says this: the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A few years after Jesus said those words, using that shepherd-sheep imagery, he did lay down his life for his sheep. He laid down his life at the cross, where he paid the price for sin, for the sin that his sheep, and that's us, he paid the price for the sin that we had committed. And the good news of the gospel is that someday our good shepherd will return. He is coming back for us. Someday he will return and he will call us home. Do you know his voice? See, right now when we're on the path, there are other voices, man, that are trying to mimic the voice of the good shepherd. Let me tell you. There are a lot of pretend shepherds out there who are trying to call us to get us off of the path that the good shepherd has for us. We need to be ears open, hearts open. What is the voice of my good shepherd? I'm only going to follow him. Do you know his voice? Are you one of his sheep? Is your neighbor one of his sheep? Are your coworkers, are your classmates his sheep? Because Jesus' sheep know they need a shepherd. Jesus' sheep believe that their shepherd laid down his life for them. We believe that Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus' sheep hear his voice and follow him. If you are one of Jesus' sheep, if you are one who has responded to the voice of the good shepherd and you have said, I hear you, Jesus. I see what you did. I see how you took my sin and my shame, and I'm going to follow you. If you are one of those sheep, then Psalm 23 has a challenge for you. It is a challenge for you to live out your faith, to understand at the very core of who you are, that you are someone with whom God's presence dwells. And it is out of that intimate and personal relationship that your faith flows. Your faith in his provision. Your faith in his protection. Your faith in his leading and his care. We are meant to live like his sheep. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know the good shepherd, the one who died for your sin, who rose victoriously from the grave and lives again, the good news is that it is not too late. He is calling you. And if you hear his voice calling you today, if you just hear, feel this nudging in your heart, a prompting to respond, then I encourage you to run to Jesus just as those sheep ran to their shepherd when they heard his voice. Because Jesus is your Savior, and he longs for you to live your life with him leading you. And so if you would like to pray and respond to the voice of Jesus, we're going to do that right now. So if everyone would just bow your heads and close your eyes. God is calling us, and he calls us to him. And if you have felt that calling and you've yet to respond, but you want to respond today, then I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. And then we're going to pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worship team, would you come forward? The good news, you can put your heads up. The good news of the gospel of Jesus is that he is constantly calling us. It's not like the shepherd calls you once, right? That's not what we read about in Psalm 23, that the shepherd calls us once and then leaves us. He continues to call. He continues to go before us and to lead us. And so no matter what you are facing today, what situation you are in, know that your good shepherd calls you forward. He surrounds you with his loving kindness and his goodness. And he wants to bring full restoration to you. So this morning as we close, I want us to do something together. I'm going to invite you all to stand with me. And we're going to put Psalm 23 up on the screen. And once it's there, we are going to read it together. Are you ready? Let's read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Our God is a good shepherd, and he loves you as his sheep. Let's worship him this morning.